Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2110, with a release date of Friday, April 6, 2018. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC issues more than 30,000 new licenses. An autonomous digital ham radio station rides the waves. And a new look at comedian Gary Shandling, former ham. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2110 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We open this week's report with encouraging news from the ARRL. Hams, we're in good company. There are now more than 30,000 new licensees among us, as reported by the ARRL's Volunteer Examiner Coordinator's Office. More than 35,350 candidates set for exams for new licenses or upgrades, and by the end of last December, the amateur radio community was 748,136 strong. Not surprisingly, the largest segment consisted of technicians, with nearly 378,000 ticket holders. According to the ARRL, there were 174,206 general class tickets issued, closely followed by 145,034 in the amateur extra class. Only advanced class and novice, which are no longer being issued by the FCC, showed a drop in numbers. Expect the bands to be busier than ever. There's also greater chances now of a contact in India, as we learn from Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Amateur radio is alive and well in India, where the Department of Telecommunications reports that of the 2,594 candidates who sat for their exams between April and December of 2017, a record number of new licenses were issued, a total of 628. And there were also 188 licenses renewed. India issues two classes of amateur radio license: the general class, which permits a maximum of 400 watts on HF and 25 watts on VHF-UHF, and a restricted class, which permits 50 watts maximum on HF and 10 watts on VHF-UHF. Licenses in India cost the equivalent of $15 in the US currency for 20 years or $30 for a lifetime license. The statistics reflect the intensely bureaucratic nature of applying for a radio license, which includes fulfilling requests for family information as well as police checks on the applicant. This can result in delays of a year or more until a license is issued. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Meanwhile, as we know sometimes, there isn't a real live ham doing the operating. An entirely autonomous digital ham radio station is operating on a piloted drone on the Pacific Ocean. Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has the details.
We invented a technology called the Wave Glider, which is an autonomous maritime vehicle that harvests wave energy for propulsion.
That's Kurt Kiso, N6FW from the Jupiter Research Foundation. Their glider, made by the Liquid Robotics Company, is designed principally for oceanic research. Kurt says, depending on wave action and ocean currents, their drone can travel about 20 to 40 miles a day. A number of Foundation employees are hams, so they made room on board for ham radio. At first, they thought of hosting a CW beacon, but soon wanted more.
FT8 came to light. We decided that that was probably an even more efficient and more enjoyable way to interact with this maritime mobile autonomous station. We took some time to write some custom software that would allow us to have our station both call CQ and respond to calls. You can either call our call sign, Kilo Hotel 6 JF, as in Jupiter Foundation, stroke MM, or listen for our CQ and have a QSO with us via FT8, just right above 14074 in the typical watering hole for FT8 on 20 meters.
Kurt says the system usually operates 24 hours a day, but in cloudy weather, the solar charging system capacity drops, and they sometimes need to take the station down until the batteries are recharged. They control the radio using the Iridium satellite data channel and have a full-time control operator to keep their station legal. They have an Elecraft KX3 and a Raspberry Pi on board, as well as a Hustler with a top hat, and everything is hardened for marine use.
When we call CQ, we wrote some algorithms that actually make sure that we don't step on other stations. First thing the Voyager does is looks at the last minute of history on what signals were where within the waterfall and finds an opening before it will transmit. It's such an intriguing project because it touches so many things, you know, between amateur radio, ocean, science, a very unique invention, the physics behind that invention.
It's easy to find, at least if you're on land.
If you simply search for HF space Voyager on Google, you'll go right to our page that shows a world map where the glider is today and all the contacts that it's made. That all happens in near real time.
Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you're heading to Ohio for Hamvention in May, there's one stop you'll want to make. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us where and why.
When the lights go out at the Greene County Fairgrounds after a busy day at Hamvention, what happens next? The National Voice of America's Museum of Broadcasting has that answer. A visit to Westchester, Ohio, a half hour or so away from the convention by car. The museum is open for extended hours during Hamvention weekend, and visitors can get an early start on Thursday when the museum is open from 1 to 4 p.m. The museum will have especially late hours, that's until 9 p.m., on Friday, May 18th and Saturday, May 19th. The historic site, known as VOA's Bethany Relay Station, had six of the world's most powerful shortwave transmitters sending messages to Europe, Africa, and South America between 1944 and 1994 when the studio finally went silent. Attendees can visit the exhibits dedicated to broadcast pioneer Powell Crosley Jr., see a huge collection of Drake amateur radio gear, and VOA's remaining 250,000-watt transmitter, as well as the 1960s master control room. Or do what hams enjoy best. Get on the air from the Ham Shack for WC8VOA, the Westchester Amateur Radio Association. For complete information on hours and exhibits, visit voamuseum.org and see you in Ohio. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp. WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
Anzac Day is a big deal in Australia and New Zealand, and not just on the ground, but on the air, as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
Amateurs in New Zealand and Australia will be saluting members of the military who've died serving their country by getting on the air the old-fashioned way on Monday the 25th of April, Anzac Day. They'll be operating on AM and CW. This annual tribute event, which is marking its eighth year, is especially popular with hams who have radios that were once used in the military or are using older crystal lock transceivers. These are the most used by the military during the early wars. The commemorative event has its roots in an inspired conversation between Mike Patterson, VK4MIK of the Tablelands Radio Group of Far North Queensland, and Lionel Veal, who had served as a coast watcher in Papua New Guinea during the Second World War. The Tablelands Radio Group, VK4GHL, is asking all hams who have the capability in their home shacks to change modes for that day and to remember. Anzac Day is also one of the 3 days in the year when Australian amateurs can substitute AX for VK in their callsign prefix. Perhaps AX should mean AM Extra Special in this case. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
We remind all listeners that we are accepting nominations for the 2018 Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. If you know a promising young amateur who is 18 or younger and lives in the United States, its possessions, or Canada, please download a nomination form from our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. Nominations are due May 31st. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N6MPX repeater of the Mad Scientist Amateur Radio Club in San Mateo, California, which can be heard on Friday evenings, 9 p.m. Pacific Time. The typical signs of spring don't include ham radio software glitches, do they? Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, explains.
In some parts of the world, the vernal equinox, which signals spring, is a sign of the expected. Trees starting to bud, flowering bulbs pushing through the soil, birds migrating north again to nest. There are signs, too, of the unexpected, like a spring snowfall in the northeastern U.S., or how about a sudden and thankfully temporary crash of the Ham Radio Deluxe logbook? Without warning, the logbook took a nosedive at the time of the equinox among the world's users of any Windows operating system that had any HRD versions dating back as far as 5.x. Writing in the HRD Online newsletter of March 21st, Mike Carper, WA9PIE, credits Mike K7ZCZ with solving the issue and the mystery, blaming at least partly on the gray line, he says, and some mathematics gone wild. During the equinox, the gray line is perpendicular to the equator. The software coding that implements the calculations that draw the gray line window in HRD applications simply could not handle creating a gray line in a nearly vertical orientation. Hence the meltdown, which fortunately only lasted about 45 minutes. The good news is that spring is here in some parts of the world, and HRD believes the problem has been resolved. Mike, WA9PIE, told Amateur Radio Newsline it's not likely to recur again, and we needn't worry about the equinox coming in September. The next release of the software should take care of things. It will have, he told us, quote, an enormous number of fixes in it as we blast our way through the product backlog, end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Shortwave radio, meet longwave radio. These transmissions have a very specific purpose in India, as we learn from Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Longwave radio, the name that describes AM frequencies below 540 kHz, is about to get a new job in India. Two towers are being planned for somewhere in the country to enable the transmission of Indian Standard Time. This project comes out of an agreement with IFR Information Dissemination Services Limited and the National Physical Laboratory, an organisation responsible for the accuracy of timekeeping in India. IFR is affiliated with a company in Germany known as EFR GmbH, which provides similar services there. This is a need especially critical in India for railway stations, phone companies and other users sensitive to time. According to a report in the Hindu newspaper, these radio waves remain reliable even at times of disasters, making them especially important in sending weather warnings and tsunami warnings. Before the project goes ahead and towers go up, the company still needs a number of permits from government entities once the tower locations have been identified. The National Physical Laboratory's director, Dinesh Aswal, told the Hindu newspaper that longwave radio has a distinct advantage because the waves stay close to the ground and are capable of going great distances, even reaching submarines. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
If you're young, licensed, and living in South Africa, the South African Radio League wants to hear from you. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us more.
The South African Radio League, which sponsors the Youth Sprint for Young Hams and is hosting this year's Youngsters on the Air Summer Camp for IARU Region 1, has found yet another way to engage young radio enthusiasts. SARL is asking young license holders why they think amateur radio is cool and wants them to share their thoughts in a message lasting 60 seconds or less. SARL is asking young hams to record a voice note on WhatsApp and send it to SARL for broadcast on LM Radio. The segment will be heard Saturdays on 702 kHz AM from Johannesburg. Notes should be sent to 076-402-1464. For more details, visit www.sarl.org.za. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Some kit-building exercises in Scotland are also aimed at building the next generation of radio enthusiasts. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has those details.
May the 7th could be the start of something big for youngsters in Scotland. A group kit-building event in Glasgow is being held by CQ Scotland, where volunteers will guide school-aged children through the basics of either a simple electronics project or a BBC micro:bit Morse code transceiver. CQ Scotland has the kits, the know-how and the commitment to help youngsters discover communications through electronics homebrew projects. What the group needs now, however, is more volunteers. According to coordinator David Searle, MM0HQD, radio amateurs or anyone knowledgeable about electronics can be a volunteer. Kit construction is expected to take about an hour. The workshop area will be located inside Brayhead Arena. So if you're interested in helping the team out, you can contact the group at the website cqscotland.com. The workshop is one of several that CQ Scotland conducts throughout the year as a way of inspiring youngsters to explore the wonders of radio and perhaps plan a career in technology or study for their Foundation Amateur Radio licence. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, a number of members of the Thomasville Amateur Radio Club, W4UCJ, will be activating St. George Island, April 14th and 15th, between 1200 and 0200 UTC. They'll be using the event call sign W4P. Follow their moves across the various bands and modes by watching their Facebook page. QSLs will be printed cards. On Martinique Island, Girard F2VX is once again active as FM/F2VX until the 18th of April. Listen for him on various HF bands using mainly SSB, QSL via F2VX, direct or by the Bureau. Listen for Kenji, JA4GXS, operating as JA4GXS/5 from Naka Island between April 22nd and 23rd. Activity will be on 40 through 17 meters using CW, SSB, and FT8. QSL via JA4GXS, by the Bureau, or direct. We close this week's report remembering TV's Gary Shandling, who's the subject of a new HBO documentary. It celebrates his career and, of course, his boyhood hobby, amateur radio. Here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
As many hams know, long before he was Gary Shandling's stand-up comedian, he was Gary Shandling, WA7BKG. When Shandling died unexpectedly at age 66 of pulmonary thrombosis 2 years ago, the entertainment world and his community of fans were joined in grief by older radio amateurs. Many of them remembered hearing Gary on the air so many years ago from his QTH in Tucson, Arizona. The world recently got a second look at the comedian in a documentary, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, directed by his friend Judd Apatow. The 4.5-hour special premiered on HBO in late March, sharing his rise on the stage, making millions laugh, but also puts his youthful amateur radio experience and his early dreams of a career in engineering back in the spotlight. Although Shandling had long since let his license expire and isn't a silent key in the formal sense, he is clearly missed, so much so that he is back on the air, at least in spirit. His friends have revived his Twitter account and have announced that much of the material will be from the comedian's own writings. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, CQ Scotland, Deadline Hollywood, Ham Radio Deluxe, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hindu Newspaper, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Voice of America's Museum of Broadcasting, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018, all rights reserved.